Seemed good to me this morning to have him sing that. I had a particularly long drive to work because of circumstances. And I was just pondering on what I knew I was going to be preaching tonight. That was kind of dictated to me by Pastor Hain to preach something along the lines of thanksgiving and thanks. And that's not hard. It's in the Bible a lot. But I was just considering those things, and I had been listening to some of the podcasts, but I changed it over and just started to listen to some music, and that song had come up, and I remember the Monday after, or perhaps I guess it was maybe the Tuesday, after I'd gotten born of God, that song had come on, and I didn't even understand quite why, but I was retching, crying as I listened to that song, as I drove to work. And just weeping because I remember when I was drowning in a sea of sin.
Right. That's right.
And, but God had done something for me. It caused me to be very thankful for what he had done. And I guess I would like to look at doctrinally, what is thanking? What is thanks? I'm just speaking of how the Bible uses it. I understand culturally we don't quite use it like how the Bible does. And that's fine. I don't think there's any requirement to change how you use the word thank you or thank. But I'm just going to look at a few passages here. Luke chapter 6. And really, this passage is what made me wonder, do I not quite understand what is being said? Because I didn't understand why Jesus Christ used the word that he used here. And Luke chapter 6, verse 31 says, "And as ye would," this is Jesus Christ speaking, he said, "and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." So he used the word, "what thank have ye?" This is a peculiar way of wording that. But what thank have ye because you're doing that which was done to you? And we'll just keep reading down because he continues to use it in that manner. It says, "And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and to receive as much again." Verse 35 says, "But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil."
Amen.
So my God is kind even to those who do not give thanks. And why is it, what thank have ye if you do good to those which do good to you? Why? Because it's expected of you. That's expected. Even the wicked expect as much. If you can realize the unspiritual thoughts of a person when the conditions for which they would respond or reciprocate something nice for someone is if that person has done something nice for them. Even the wicked think as much. What they can't do is do good to the person that doesn't like them. What they can't do is be kind to the person that hates them. That's doing good to something so that person can give thanks for that. They didn't deserve what you gave them. Giving of thanks is something where you did not deserve it and you give thanks. So I'll go on a little bit farther and push that point a little bit farther in Luke 17. It's not just limited to what you didn't deserve that you should give thanks for, but Luke 17 and verse 7 says, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You're just doing your duty. Thanks, biblically, is not to be given to you. You're not owed thanks.
Right.
If it's your duty to do something, there is absolutely no requirement for someone to give you thanks. I said what I said at the beginning because culturally in the United States, you probably should say thank you. It's rude not to. That's just our culture. We say thank you to everything. That's fine. It's a good thing to do. It really is. I'm not arguing against that. And yet biblically, no. Jesus Christ is saying, what, shall he give him thanks? No. No, he's required to do that. Do I thank my boss for a paycheck? No, I worked. He owes me it. But let's look a little bit farther at this. 1 Peter 2, just setting down, I guess, the foundation of the word thanks, so that we might understand why. Why give thanks? 1 Peter 2, verse 18. I'm in 2 Peter. That's not 1 Peter. First Peter 2:18 says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Throws a lot of people out the window with that. They're not going to serve a boss like that. But verse 19 says this, for this is thankworthy. In other words, it's worthy of thanks. It's thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. That's worthy of thanks. That boss should be thanking that person. It is a thankworthy thing that he's doing. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? It's not a glory. If you are terrible at your job and you absolutely have a problem with everyone at your job and you're buffeted at work by that and people mock you and make fun of you and you take it patiently, I'm just trying to be holy.
Right.
You're just bad at it. That's nothing. That's no Spirit of God thing about you. That's just, there's going on. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? There is no glory in that. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Therefore, I declare unto you, it is very good to be thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you ought to be giving thanks to. Have you deserved, have you earned these things that he has given you? Have you earned that he should bear your sins in his own body and die upon a tree and then go into the flames of hell? No, he is worthy of thanks. But we'll give thanks to everything else. Those other things that are the needful things of thanks. No, I'm going to be thankful for that which I did not deserve. I didn't deserve. So first off, thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the offering of himself. Thank God for that. Another thing I notice about the word thanks, and take it however it is it's something that's given. Always. You give thanks. That's it. You give it. That's something you give. You ain't got nothing else to pay back to. You have nothing else to do. You can't reciprocate what was done for you. You can give thanks. Indeed, God commands it of you.
Amen.
Psalm 50. You know, not Psalm 50. God commands it of you, and what do the wicked do with that command? This is what they do. Romans chapter 1. This is the condemnation of the wicked. One of them. There's many condemnations of the wicked, and really it all comes up to they don't believe God and they hate him.
Right. That's right.
Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And you think, how is the wrath of God revealed from heaven? I haven't seen it.
Go ahead.
It's been revealed from heaven.
Right.
You think you're just mocking. Nope. That's the truth. God gave you his word. You just don't believe it.
That's it. Go ahead.
And therefore the wrath of God sits upon you.
That's right.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. How do you know what's ungodly? Well, all the things that this book called ungodly are ungodly. Pretty simple. And unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Like, but I do have excuse. No, you do not. You have heard the word of God and rejected it. That your excuse was gone at that moment. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Like, but I am thankful. I thank him for all these little things. Are you thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ?
That's right.
Turns out, no, the sinner is not thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, they don't want to depart from their sins.
That's right.
They won't come to the light because they don't want to go to the light.
Right.
They love their sin. They love that condition. And if you don't believe me, read John chapter 3. They love that condition. Therefore, they are not thankful for Jesus Christ taking their sins in his body.
Right.
Why would he need to do that? I'm very comfortable with them in my body, saith the sinner. Psalm 50, getting back on track, get a detour. So what was God's problem with them? Unthankful.
That's right.
Unthankful. They can see what God has said. They see what he has done. They say,
nope, that's
nope. I'll just be thankful I have nice shoes. I'll just be thankful for my car. I'll just be thankful for this job that I have.
Right.
I'll just be thankful that I have this body that I have.
Right.
Why don't you be thankful for those spiritual things that God's done for you? This life is but 80 or 90 years, or perhaps 100 if you live really long. This life is nothing. What about the eternity that is before you? For those things ought you to be thankful. This life is nothing. And yet, I don't say you ought not to be thankful for those things in this life. You ought to be, because God's provided them. But you ought to be far more thankful for those things which you could never have done.
That's right.
That's right. Go ahead.
Good.
Psalm 50, verse 7 says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God." In case you're wondering who is talking. "I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats?" See, that's how people think. They think, oh, I have the separation between me and God, so I need to be doing some more things. Perhaps I should give more of my income to God. And perhaps I should spend more of my time reading the Bible. Perhaps I should do this. Perhaps I should do God. Perhaps I should do that. Why won't you just obey God and do this? offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High.
That's right.
And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That's a promise.
Amen.
It's certainly his will to do it. So why aren't you there? Good question. Good question, me. Psalm 95. Really hadn't intended it to go in this way.
Amen.
Seems to be crashing.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 95, it says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Who's that? That'd be Jesus Christ. "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great king and a great king above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture." How so? In that he is the bishop and shepherd of your soul. "We're the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Now, how would a person harden their heart? Well, they'd steel themselves in that unthankfulness. You think, that's so plain. Just, I can say thank you. But can you do it in truth?
Right.
Can you do it in truth? Can you do it believing the word of God? "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Is sin. So a sinner will try to do things disbelieving God, not believing him. And yet they'll try to fulfill this thing that's commanded them. They'll see themselves condemned in this matter in the preaching, and so they'll jump upon that one thing. And yet the problem is they don't believe God. The problem is they don't believe God, and they will not come to him with that. They will not come to him. I say will not. "Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." What is hardening your heart? Where you just steel yourself in that opinion you've got.
Right.
You're not going to think about it differently.
Yep.
You've thought about it, and you, nope, this is how it is. That's all fine and well if it's according to the Word of God, but if it's not according to the Word of God, you're in trouble. "When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart." Now, this same people did testify and speak much about God. They brought sacrifices unto God. And they came into the congregation and they followed the law of God for the most part very well. I mean, some you can see they were stoned to death, so I imagine there was a great fear of God upon them. And yet the problem was that they did err in their heart. Their heart. "And they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear on my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." Unthankful. Very unthankful. But I thank God. Psalm 100. A psalm of praise. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God." Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Man, it'll really help you to be thankful when you can consider that the Lord, he is God.
Amen.
"Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves." So that also ought to make you thankful. You didn't make yourself. God made you. God made you. So therefore, it has nothing to do with your own ability.
Right.
It's something you haven't done, nor contrived, nor do you have the ability to do, nor can you do anything about it, but that God has made you.
Right.
So I thank him. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And I'm very thankful because his mercy doth endure forever. In fact, I think of Psalm 136. It says that quite a lot. Just start off with that. Psalm 136 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." So if you're wondering why you ought to give thanks, well, you can start off with that one. Why can't you do that one? Because you lack faith. Faith stands upon the word of God and says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." And faith says, "Thank you, Lord, for you are good." Faith stands on the word of God. Faith believes everything in this book. Some have a faith that does this or that. I have a faith that believes this book.
Amen.
That's the faith. The faith without this book, I have nothing. I don't even have faith.
That's right.
I have faith by the word of God. Indeed, it says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Therefore, my faith does come by the word of God. I don't know how helpful that is, but it's pretty helpful to me. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever." Thank God. You know, his mercy isn't going to run out.
Right.
I thank God when he did save me, it was forever.
Right.
He's not going to come to a certain day a couple hundred years from now or a couple thousand years from now when he begins to consider just how wretched this person is. Nope. His mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, who alone, not someone else doing it, it's him, doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. Now look at, just kind of jumping around, got a lot of verses down here. Amen. Luke 18. Not sure where we're going, but thank God. Luke 18, verse 11, says, I'll read verse 10. Jesus is speaking a parable. And he says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." Luke 18, verse 11, now ready. "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee.'" And boy, he does sound very good right now. That sounds exactly in accordance with the word of God. God has commanded him to give thanks, and he has begun. He says, "God, I thank thee."
Yes.
Now let's see where the problem lies. He said, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." Man, he is very thankful to God for what a wonderful person he is. No, indeed, I thank God for what a wicked person I am. And yet, even in that condition, Christ died for me.
Amen.
Even in that condition, God sees the wretchedness that is Stephen Asquith standing before you. And God saved me then. That's when God died for me. I thank God for that. I don't thank God for how wonderful of a person I am. I know I'm not a wonderful person. The things that you see in me that you think that are good, those are things that God hath wrought. Not Stephen. Stephen is full of wickedness. And if you have any doubt of that, ask my wife. Ephesians. It's funny, but really sad, honestly. Ephesians. It'd be one thing if our wickedness was like the funny wickedness.
Right.
But it really turns out it's not.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
It leads to homes that are wrecked.
That's right.
Destroyed, misery, depression.
Yep.
Hating life, full
yep.
of bitterness.
Yep.
That's what sin does.
Yep.
That's right.
Whatsoever is not of faith
is
sin. Is that by faith? Are those things you're thinking by faith? Now, that could come of two places. There's either something that is by faith, or there's things that are by your sin nature. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So you have a way of evaluating where the thoughts that are within you are coming from. What are your actions? If it's not of faith, it's sin. I remember leading down towards salvation, coming more and more to terms with the fact that everything I did was sin. So even those good things, even tithing and giving offerings, yeah, buddy, I did it out of a sin nature. I didn't do it because I believed God.
That's right.
I just did it because I thought this is how to be saved.
That's right.
And why would I think that? Because I didn't believe God. Because I didn't believe God. Examine yourselves whether or not you be in the faith. But I thank God for a faith that's given to me. I didn't deserve it. That's why I can thank God for it. If I could thank God for the faith that I had managed to conjure up, why should I give thanks? Biblically, doctrinally, I ought not to give thanks for that. I did it. Nope. I thank God for the faith of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, did I give you time to turn there? I don't remember if I said that passage. Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, many of these verses you've noticed that God has said we ought to be thankful, and he's speaking of Jesus Christ, and he shows those things that Jesus Christ has done. But to the believer, he says, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. That way others can give thanks to God in you.
Amen.
But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. So we're worried about a testimony in which it's named a lot among us. I'm completely known as a fornicator all the time. At least I'm not doing it twice a week like this guy. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. What becometh saints? Why the holiness of God becometh saints? Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know what's really convenient? To give God thanks. Why? You ain't got nothing that God didn't give you. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? That's what God said. You ain't got nothing that you didn't receive of God. Neither spiritually of those good things, nor physically on this earth. It's like, well, I worked real hard. Well, it's a good thing God didn't make you a cripple.
Right.
Good thing he didn't do that to you. What would you say then? I'm in a wheelchair, I can't. Yeah, I know. Be thankful to God that you're not.
Amen.
For this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. I can be pretty thankful for that. Hallelujah. Once I walked in darkness, but now I walk in the light. Is that because of me? Nope. That's because my God did love me and died for me and kept bringing the truth to me and convicted me over my sin. For things that I had done? No, nothing to do with me. Therefore do I give God thanks. I give God thanks that he's called me out of darkness into that light. Not because of the things that I've done, but because he done it. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Yeah. Nope, that'll stop there. For ye were some, verse 8 said, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 10, verse 9 is completely in parentheses, but verse 10 said, what was the point of that? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How would you do that? Walk in the light, as he is in the light.
Right.
How would you do that? Quit your sinning. Quit your sinning. Verse 11 said, and have no, that's not sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Those things that you do, are they by the word of God? You can look and point to where in the word of God where he has said that's a right and that's a good thing.
Good, Steve.
And yet many of those things that you do and that you think are so wonderful and great, they are not according to the word of God. And if you'd ever take the time to study it out, you would see that. Why won't you do that? I haven't been convicted about it because you quench conviction.
That's right.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Now, how did I receive light? Because I slowly worked my way into this salvation. Nope. God spake and he said, awake, thou that sleepest. Awake. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I'm getting somewhere eventually. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's another one, Peter, for you especially, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Look at what he has said in here. He has said, is effectively, to walk holy. To walk holy before him. Romans 12:1 says, presenting your body. And verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I can give thanks unto God for all things. All things. Those things that have gone. Those things that have gone on in the past. I can give God thanks for that. Yeah, I'll just say it publicly. I wasn't going to. You know, as a little child, I was molested by my older brother. I was. It's awful. The memories of it, I can remember. It's awful. You know what I can do today? I can thank God for it. Indeed, I have. I have in truth thanked God for that.
How?
I have in truth. Why? He's put me here.
Hey.
Would I be saved and born again?
How?
Would I have ever come to a place where I came to the end of myself? How he wrecked our family by the will of God. I can give thanks for that. I thank God for that. He's done that for me. He worked that in my life. Hallelujah. You know, when Christ forgave me, it wasn't hard for me to forgive my older brother. It wasn't hard for me to do that. It was very easy. It took absolutely no thought. I just thought, yeah, I forgave him. I forgive him. It's nothing. It's not hard. It's not hard. I've been forgiven so much.
That's right.
Colossians 3. Verse 15. It's very easy for me to forgive him. I mean, it's nothing. I don't struggle with that.
Right.
I can have conversations with him, talk with him, absolutely rejoice in the things of God I see in his life, rejoice and try to motivate him to be a part of the things of God yet more and more. I forgive him. I forgive him. It's very simple. Because Christ forgave me.
That's right.
Christ forgave me. Verse 15 of Colossians 3 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. That'd be the body of Jesus Christ. And be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. Commanded you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, you might wonder, why would I have to give thanks to God by him? Well, I couldn't even come into the presence of God except that Jesus Christ died for me and made himself that mediator between myself and God, because now I can actually come into his presence. Before, I couldn't have come into his presence. I was vile, unclean. Yet in the person of Christ, I may.
Amen.
And I can do it. I can give God thanks by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6. Verse 17. And this is to all of you that have indeed received Christ in truth, have believed God. How would you know that? Well, the Spirit of God would bear witness with your spirit. And how would he do that? According to the Word of God. According to the Word of God. Man. But people will trust every other thing.
Right.
You know, I just know in myself. I just know. I don't know anything.
Right.
I'm brought to wretchedness. Except then the word of God will come to me in faith, taking hold of the word of God. I rejoice. I therefore do rejoice because the word of God has come to me and once more reminded me of the promises of God and that faith that Jesus Christ has given me, that faith that caused him even in the flames of hell to say, I believe, therefore have I spoken. That faith just believes that word of God just as much as that. Therefore, when those words come to me and that faith which is inside me, it rejoices and knows and has assurance before God. But we have assurance from other places. We don't need the word of God. We wouldn't say that, but that's how we think, isn't it? Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Hallelujah. Thank God. And then I'm going to finish with one more passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13. Verse 13 says, I didn't know I was going here, but works out. We having the same spirit of faith. What spirit of faith? That would be the spirit of faith of Jesus Christ. We having that same spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's a gift from God. Therefore, I do thank God because he gave me that gift of faith, which is the very righteousness of God. He gave me that gift that I didn't earn. I didn't do anything to achieve, but God gave me that. Therefore, God be thanked. We having that same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe. What do we believe? This. This. You got other things that you believe. That is not faith. Faith stands on the word of God. Faith stands on the word of God. Not on other things. Not faith, faith this and faith that. Faith is to stand on the word of God. What was the faith of Jesus Christ in the flames of hell? He said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He quoted scripture because God promised him that he'd walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And he believed the word of God and his faith stood on the word of God. And that was the faith of Jesus Christ, which he's given unto repentant sinners. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the salvation. Thank God for the peace. Thank God for this faith. Like, how do you have peace? Well, I guess it wouldn't be very good of God to make all these promises and then lie. But he gives peace. And I guess it's time for... Would you take prayer requests, Brother Neil? If you wouldn't mind.
Amen.